Welcome by way of information. We have Ron Wilson. We have Mark Scritell. We have Bob Berndt on the line. And I'm Jim Harvey. And we're just missing Mike Moyal, who I don't know if he hasn't confirmed one way or the other.
He's
to
supposed
me.
To be here. He's here this morning.
I expect that he would.
He'll wander in.
I want to compliment Roy, you, and Carrie for arranging and doing a great job. I know that Ron and I had a great experience, and we may take a moment and report about that down at the Water Users Conference. That was worthwhile, very worthwhile. It was a good experience. So I had a great, I mean, it was very informative.
It was like drinking from a fire hose in some instances, because there was so much information, and each of the individuals that was presenting had their own specialty. You missed the law part. That was especially good, too. So it was, overall, it was good. It was really good.
So in just to go over a couple of things for your benefit, Bob, and for yours, Mark, I think it's kind of what was the little bit there. They said that Weber County is at the time of the conference was at 117% of snowpack. The water runoffs will be anticipated between, and we have Mr. Moyal just walked in, perfect. We have water runoffs will be at 85 to 100%, but the anticipated colder temperatures throughout the rest of March and into April will help. The Pine View levels are at 131% with an average of 131% of average, 151% median, and the drought, I had written this down this way, the drought is going away and many or most of Utah's reservoirs will be completely filled, including the large ones. Mm-hmm. So we'll know more after April's temperatures. We were also successful. Roy did a great job making the presentation to the water board, and we were able to bond for $1.068 million, with at 1%. That was approved by their board unanimously. We had in attendance was our new engineer, Mr. Miller, with us. Everything looked really, really good, and that was especially good for us because the district right before us was like 300,000 or 400,000, and theirs was like 4.5%. So we came in at 1%. I think he was a little miffed that we got 1% on the money, and he was at 4.5%.
True,
but that lends itself to the credibility of the people that are working for us. So I was really happy about that. Any comments from the board or any of the trustees?
Yeah, it was very helpful. I appreciated everybody being there, having our chairman and board members and our clerk and our engineers and everything. That makes a big difference to have a showing like that when you're coming in for your funding. They didn't have too many questions or anything. They could tell that we knew what we were doing, and the engineer was prepared, and so we were able to answer the questions very easily, so it helped so much. But that was great, and that is a great meeting to go to because, again, you get a chance to meet a lot of the state officials, kind of movers and shakers in our government and all these agencies that are that make decisions for us, drinking water, water resources, state engineer's office, folks are all there. You get the Weather Bureau folks. But people that all affect our lives in a way, those state leaders are always at that meeting, so it's incredible to be there. Get to know them personally. It makes a big difference when you walk in, shake your hand, shake the hands of the state engineer. He knows who you are, you're friends with him, and if you have a problem, he can talk to you. So I think it's very, very helpful to attend that each year if we can ever afford to or if we rotate. That's a great meeting to go to.
For me, it was worth the time, for sure.
It was for me, absolutely.
And yeah. The water law meeting is amazing. Don Barnett puts on just prior to that. Very informative, isn't it?
It is.
You learn a lot about the state laws and water resources. And
current issues. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of it has to do with Little Cottonwood and Big Cottonwood and Salt Lake County and some of those case law things. But by and large, it was very, very good.
Yeah. It's fun. You guys are good folks. Anyway, all right, if there's no more comments, I'll move on to item B on our agenda, which are public comments. And seeing no public here, trustees, I'd like to, with your permission, unless you have something to say, I'd like to move on to item C. With a few nods in the room, we'll go to the approval of the consent items. I'll read those just for so we have it on the record. A request for approval of the district bills to be paid, warrants 504 to 530 in the amount of $49,438.89. Item two is a request for approval of the minutes for the meeting held on November 20th, 2018, December 18th, 2018, and January 15th, 2019. Item three is a request for the ratification of payment to Vicks Quality. That's Vicks Quality Keys, probably.
It is.
For $116.66. Any questions from the board members on the consent items as posted? None being heard, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent items as read.
Motion recognized. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Recognize. Any questions at all?
Yes.
Yes, Ron?
The one thing that I have a problem with that's on, and I approve, but I don't think we should be paying to have the trucks detailed. Okay? I think we can work out an arrangement to go to a car wash or something like that. But to have the trucks detailed, that's washed and waxed and cleaned up and everything else. It just doesn't seem to me, I would have a hard time justifying that to my neighbor, okay? Mm-hmm. So I would prefer, if you make a commercial agreement with a car wash and run the trucks through, or whatever the case may be. But that was the only item that I had a problem with.
Yeah, we'll make sure we do that.
And I, you know, any more with the way they're washing cars, you could do that frequently. I don't know how that works with our big truck, though. Would they take the big truck?
Yeah, home? That'll work. And in fact, some of the newer places, the new place they have out.
Tunnel washers.
Yeah, the washing places. You can go through those, and they actually, for the $15 or $13 or whatever, they'll detail it. They'll actually vacuum it out and wipe it down inside and everything. So.
And I wouldn't have a problem
with
that.
But that particular time, Jed had had that truck. He'd been up there doing all that stuff, and it was a mess. It's a muddy mess, and so.
No, Kerry explained it to me,
so
but
I
don't.
But long going forward, we'll make sure we do that.
Okay.
Great. Any other questions, ma'am, trustees?
No.
Great. That none being heard, then I'll entertain them. Let's see. We have a motion and a second. A call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. On to our attorney. Now, Blake Hamilton isn't here, but Sarah?
Ashley.
Mm-hmm. I knew there was an A in there. Ashley's here from, go ahead.
Don't we have to do the approval of the minutes?
We did.
Oh, we did. Okay, items. I missed it.
Do you have some comments on that?
No, none at all.
Okay, great. Go ahead, Ashley.
So I spoke to Blake before I came down here. He's, sorry, he couldn't be here in person. He had a hearing that started right before this meeting. So, and I apologize for my lateness. I went to the other building.
I don't
wonder about that. That was my fault. So. I don't have anything to report specifically unless there are questions that I can answer or relay to Blake.
Any questions, trustees?
Closed session, there'll be some stuff.
Yeah.
Great. Any questions under the that are on the open meeting portion of this for Ashley? None being heard, then we'll move on. No action to be taken. Mr. Miller was here earlier. I thinking the meeting started at 2, but Roy, you had a couple of things, and we're on item number E.
Yeah, so Mark apologized. He had some family events that he was headed out to, and he thought the meeting started earlier, but I was able to speak to him about the RFQ. There's a couple of comments that had been made previously about what type of engineering firms we'd hire and how they would do our work for us in the past, and I remember the comments being that do we want to have one firm who does everything, or do we have an engineer, and then we farm out bigger projects. Talking with Mark and understanding his billing process, it is much, much cheaper than the way CRS operated. But he'd be acting as the district engineer if he wants to participate in the RFQ. We'll still send that out. But he is acting as an interim engineer, but he understands that, and we do have his paperwork agreement there. But I asked him about what if we had some project that we needed need expertise on, maybe a firm has people that, kind of like Aqua, and or maybe Bowen Collins type or something like that. And he said, well, the best thing to do to save the district money is have him be the engineer, like Paul was doing. And he said, I can take care of most of the stuff that you guys have going on inexpensively. And he said, when we have a big thing, like maybe you want to build a water treatment plant, then we go out for an RFQ for somebody like Aqua or maybe Bowen Collins or JUB or somebody like that. And they come in and he would make sure that he keeps them on task. They're taking care of things, gets the job done, the meeting schedules and everything else. And he acts as our engineer for the project. And he said that's the best way to operate. It'll be more less expensive. And he'll be very focused on our issues and his way of doing business. If you look at his contract, he doesn't charge for everything that he does. He's very careful to only bill you for things that he feels are right. He's not going to bill you for trainees working in his office and everything else, which we have seen before. Already just reviewing the projects that are out there and the work he's done, he's already saved us quite a bit of money. And so it was a good recommendation by our chairman to call him and to get him on board, and appreciate the board's support. It's helped us to just kind of keep moving with Paul's resignation. So anyway, I just want to speak to that, the fact that with multiple firms, we would go out for RFQs for those if we need them. Now, we still are going to do an RFQ. Mark Miller and his firm would still need to submit like everybody else. And then we would just have to look at them. We already have his rates. We know what those are like. And we would look at everybody else's rates after we evaluate their qualifications. By law, we have to do that first, and then we'll shop them for price. If they're too expensive, we won't work with us as far as how we want to pay them, our charges for paper clips, whatever. Then we move to the next ones. So there's a process in place. Mark wants to participate. He will step away from when the RFQs happen. He will not be a part of that review process. We'll have to have two or three of you help us on the review process, but we'll get that out. Since this all happened and from the last meeting till now, we're talking about the RFQ. Paul resigned, got the RFQ ready. Mark's the interim engineer and taking care of our work until the RFQ is completed and we have a new engineer on board, whoever it ends up being. But he would like to participate.
Can I ask a question?
I'd love for you to ask some questions, because I've got okay. Some good stuff to go ahead, please.
Okay, let's just take the pipeline that is planned to go up the hill. Okay, he would be our engineer for putting it out for bid and reviewing the plans, or would he actually do the design and subcontract to a construction firm to put it in? I don't understand.
Because it's not that big of a project,
uh-huh.
Or that specialized, it's just a water line and booster stations, it isn't that complicated. I think I could figure it out by myself, but it's something that your engineer should take care of. The big challenge, from what I've seen anyway, is really understanding how your engineer bills you and what he bills for. The problem with a bigger firm is that you're buying the CEO and his trainees and everybody. The time you talk to somebody, you're paying for BS. Unfortunately, for a smaller organization like his, two or three guys that work there, they're very good engineers. They're very focused. They stay busy all day long. They get their stuff done. They get it out, and you're not buying all of the huge operation.
You're not buying the overhead, the cost overhead, or what you're saying.
Yeah, you get these CEOs that have 30 years of experience, and they want to be, you've got to pay for them somehow, and so they add that into your costs. A smaller firm doesn't do that, and typically their prices will be cheaper because their overhead is considerably cheaper. So he's one of those type, and I've been around Mark for a number of years. He was the engineer that I used, and I didn't know that until Jim knew who he was, but when you recommended him, I had used Washington Civil Engineering for a number of years where I worked before, and he was extremely sensitive to cost, and he was always very smart, very on top of things, very personable. And I think you know that, Mark. I think you weren't down here, were you, when we met with Don and those guys? Mm-hmm. I think it was.
No.
But some of you do know Mark right now, but he's a great guy. Perfect fit for the interim.
So, board members, I want it known right up front, too. Wasatch Civil is the outfit that did all the work in the old DDO Ogden or the BDO Ogden out there. So he came recommended to me a long time ago through the Boyer Corporation. I've since known him, and he's a good friend of mine. So I think it would be appropriate for me, because of that relationship, to recuse myself of participating in any action that would take place or in the selection committee. I don't think it'd be right for me to do that, unless we have the numbers that wouldn't allow us to make a good recommendation. Mr. Barrett, you have something there?
Yes, I mean, my understanding was is that we successfully polled the board already in terms of bringing on Mr. Miller as our district engineer based on a careful review of his charges and that sort of thing, and that he's on board, I mean, right now.
Yeah, so he's the interim engineer. We still have to go through an RFQ by law.
No, but addressing Jim's concern about Jim's potential conflict, I don't see that now as being particularly germane. At the time of RFQ, I think we just need to keep that in the back of our minds.
I just want to be open with the board so that there's there's nothing hidden. I don't want you to think that I've got any kind of hidden agenda or anything on that at all. I just being really forthright, I guess, or open with all of you, so you know. I don't want there to be any home cooking, so to speak. Any insinuation that there's some home cooking. While I like home cooking, but you know what I mean.
Do we have a timeline for the RFQ process?
It takes probably, we'll have to get the notice out probably at least a couple of weeks. It'll have to be out there. It'll be into next month. So Mark will be on board as our interim engineer for probably at least a couple of months. Okay. So we have a chance to have another meeting and get the board together. It'll be May, June probably for you. Select somebody.
Okay.
How will we do source selection? Do you know yet?
We'll just get the notice out by.
Picking the engineer.
So we'll need two or three people to sit on a group committee, and we'll evaluate them based on the certain criteria that we have, and we'll pick that individual, that firm, based on whatever their performance standards and qualifications and work experience and staff, and finally cost towards the end can't be the first thing used. It has to be actually the last, but look at their charges, and if they're excessive and we can't afford them, or we don't like their billing processes or anything else, we can check around and see what they're like. If we don't like that, then we'll move to the next one until we find one that everything fits.
So I will just bring up the board just in case somebody doesn't know, but for instance, Wasatch Civil came to the hearing when we were presented the bond, and was there just to support, and he had a couple things to say there, but he was going down there to see his mother and pick up a bicycle, and he just happened by the meeting. Instead of, hey, I'm going to bill these guys for a trip to St. George, and while I'm there, I'm going to see my mother and pick up my bicycle. So it was a zero deal for us.
Yeah, and should have been a couple $1,000.
Yeah, that could have been easily a couple $1,000, which we'd have seen before. So I like guys that do those little touches myself. Just putting that in there, I thought that was pretty good.
And he's agreed. When we've had our first meeting with Don Guerra, Rick Everson, and Ryan Cathy, to kind of meet and greet, find out where things are at, get going. He mentioned that he would be very careful not to charge or even excessively charge anything for those reviews, get caught up to speed and everything else, and where Paul was and where we need to be. So he's already saved us a ton of money that way too, but he's very conscientious of that also. So, but yeah, he's been good, and hopefully he'll be successful in being an engineer also.
Yeah, he's great.
All right, any other discussion on that, the RFQ or What about Bobcat and Overlook standards?
So that's one of the things that he is reviewing also. It was, Paul was kind of had done that in the view of it, in the middle of it, but we wanted to make sure that he had a chance to review those, and then also based on the problem we had with the frozen water lines, make sure that everything those plans are according to district standards. And we'll talk a little bit about that. He's made some changes in the standards also, or district specifications. We want to make sure that those went into design. But he's willing to kind of help again move those along quickly, do whatever we need to keep the developer moving. So we're going to meet him tomorrow morning to go over that stuff. And then also he's agreed to look at Mike's development too tomorrow morning. You plan on being there, right? We talked about that?
Yes, for Mike.
Yep. Okay. So we'll look at his, make sure his had a review. Paul had it, was kind of in the middle of that, but we wanted to make sure that. And Mark's working as our interim engineer, that he reviews any of the projects that are underway and make sure we keep moving along.
Great. Any questions regarding that report? Mr. Barron or Trustee Barron, in as much as you're on the phone, Don Guerra just, did I say that right?
Guerra.
Guerra.
Yeah, that's close.
Well, it's a, yeah, but. in the room. So he walked into the room. Okay, great. Moving along the agenda, we'll move to item F, like Foxtrot, the manager's report. Mr. Watts, if you'll report on the sewer system, please, item number six.
Yeah, so I just wanted to let you know, of course, it's always a concern at this time of year, worrying about the sewer lagoons, whether they're top or going to. I haven't actually been up to see them in the last several days. They looked pretty good when I was up there a few weeks ago, but the melt starting and the infiltration. I did check the grinding station last night up on top of the mountain, and the flows were about 10 CFS or 10 gallons a minute. So not excessive. It was not more than we see most of the time. We seem to be getting quite a bit of infiltration out of Sheep Creek, and I almost think there might be some either one of the manholes has a spring running into it, or we have some homeowners that have their sump pumps plumbed into the sewer system. So we're just going to go around, start popping manholes,
okay.
See where the water's at and where it's not, and see if we can trace it back to a house or two, or to a manhole that might be not sealed properly and taken on a spring or something. There's a lot of water, underground water down that area.
There was a lot of flooding 2 years ago in our neighborhood. Yeah.
All the springs are right there in that subdivision, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, luckily, I didn't have a problem, but some people had a lot of issues 2 years ago.
Yeah. So we'll be checking on that. But I was pleased to see that off, as far as the mountain goes, there was hardly any infiltration going on. There's down a minimum flow.
Yeah, we did have an issue Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're probably aware of it. But it sounds like it was kind of right where the lateral met the main, and we had just had a bunch of people flush inappropriate things down the toilet and created a plug there. So we got through it. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of weird. So the grinder station will catch a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Every time we go in there, there's somebody's shirt in there. Like, when these people flush, how do you flush a shirt down the toilet?
I wear shirts once, and then I flush them.
Kidding me, or there's like laundry down here. luckily you have a device to catch that, otherwise that could be a real problem down below.
Or maybe you solve the mystery of the missing sock.
Yeah, a condom washing machine or something. Yeah.
Well, yes.
Okay, Ron. You said you had a lot of water 2 years ago. Well, the guys at the conference said we're going to have snow levels and melt similar to 2017. And you mentioned to me they were close to topping the ponds in 2017. So I guess that's something we have to be very, monitor very closely.
Right. That's probably one of the more dangerous things that I worry about are those ponds. If you lose one of those, they top, you have a spill. What are you going to do with that sewage or it's running down the mountainside? You have an abandoned. It is terrifying. I really think that a couple of things we're going to do in the next little while. We're going to, tomorrow afternoon, we're going to meet with Delco Western to install. I don't know if you guys remember the budget, we had actually put some information in there where we're going to update the SCADA system. So we'll put real-time read information in all of the different devices that we have, so we can watch flows, real-time flows on them, and also put cameras on the outside and inside the buildings and things like that, where we can actually be watching, physically watching those remotely if we have to.
Flow sensors in there too that'll report to the SCADA system and do real-time water levels.
Yeah. And then other thing we need that eventually in the future is probably piezometers and inclinometers in those banks, so that we can watch water levels as well, so if there's any saturation going on, or if the banks start to move a little bit, that alarms go off and we do something drastic before we lose one of those. I mean, it's probably, I think Dam Safety actually has jurisdiction over those.
Yeah.
And so, that could be a real catastrophic problem. I've seen that happen in other lagoons, and they're deadly. They will kill people.
So what, let's assume we get all the monitoring equipment in, and we get an alert that the water levels are reaching critical levels. What's our contingency plan?
That is terrifying. I don't think we have anything.
Okay.
And what to do? Get trucks up there and pump it down or pump it out. That's about all you could do.
In the wintertime, are you going to get a truck there, though?
Yep.
Especially by a pump truck.
Yeah, and that is the other problem is I think we need to be thinking about that, and the fact that we need a good road up to those ponds in times of emergencies. Right now, you just snowmobile if you're lucky.
Yeah.
And so it's impossible to do anything in an emergency basis. We need a gravel road or a paved road or something all the way up there right to the bank, so we can pull in, maybe put one of those big vac trucks in, and he would load out 2,000 or 3,000 gallons out of there at a time, but it would do something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe keep them from spilling. The other thing, eventually someday, I still keep thinking treatment. We ought to consider that. You know, I look at the at those sewer lagoons, and I still think that treatment is probably still worth looking at in that whole area, because if you were to get a piece of property down somewhere down out, just outside of Sheep Creek, one of those farms, and maybe if you owned the farm, you could put in a treatment plant there, could sprinkle with that water. You could probably at that point gravity feed all of the upper mountain to it, and also the lagoons could. You could utilize those, but you could also be sending out to that treatment plant. But get down to the point where you can gravity feed everything, Sheep Creek, all of the mountain and everything into a treatment plant, but then have a place to put it. And I think alfalfa is one of the best to put it on.
So there's, and I'm just speaking as a single resident, so I have no idea what the rest of the development would think of this, but right down in our neighborhood, we have the park, but then we also have probably 8 to 10 acres that are undeveloped as open space.
Uh-huh.
That
what are we talking about?
Is along the main road coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be an opportunity to purchase that land from the HOA and use that as a treatment station.
Yeah.
Or a treatment site.
Yeah, if you had 10, 15, 20 gallons a minute going out in a sprinkler system, you could water the heck out of it and get rid of that water. All these things worth doing.
See, all the water wouldn't belong to us.
Yeah, that's true.
Some of it would belong to Wolf Creek because they provide water to his area.
No, it's Liberty Pipeline.
Oh, Liberty. Well, then some would belong to Liberty then.
But if it's irrigation water, it wouldn't. Liberty only provides culinary. We have our own irrigation well.
Yeah, but so. See, they own the water rights to that piece of the water.
But it would be the HOA because it's our well is actually on that land. I think it would be the HOA that actually owns the irrigation water.
I think you could sprinkle with it.
If Amanda came back and she would say, that's our water from up around Snowflake where I live, because that's Wolf Creek.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's her water that's coming down there. I don't know that she would. I'm sure that she would give us some sort of.
Well, respect to that, what if you were treating it somewhere up there where you could actually turn it back out to them so that society can use it? I still think it's the best thing to do. Treat it and then let them use it for their.
Will the state allow you to do that?
They're doing it. I think Wolf Creek's doing it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think because the water would be coming from Powder Mountain Wells and Liberty Pipeline, there may be a claim from Liberty, but the majority of it would be Powder Mountain Wells.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Because my neighborhood's getting more and more second homes. I mean, it's people are disappearing out of my neighborhood. I'd say maybe 20% of the homes are actually occupied by full-time residents.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So.
Yeah, I think that water is just minimal, but it's something just to consider. You know, as we go forward, we probably would talk to somebody about that.
Yeah, so it leads to the bigger question, of course, with the county. I mean, the really need a regional plant up there is one thing. I know everybody's thought about it, talked about it and everything, but it absolutely needs to happen. It's crazy for us to keep adding on to our stuff when it should be going into a regional plant, and they're doing that, using that water source for the Ogden River, supplementals, whatever.
Well, the water study that's going to be coming out, or maybe it was just released, it's going to show there's already early signs of contamination of Ogden's wells. And I think, you know, hopefully that spurs the county on to force a regional treatment plant up there to get rid of all the people who are on septic, too.
Yeah, they've got to be leaching
that,
into that.
That is
lake.
The conclusion is that's the largest source of contamination. So.
Wow. Well, okay.
So, what the county probably would need is a huge committee or whatever to actually just start the process. It'll take probably 15 years to get put together.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
20, but it needs to be started. It needs to be done. It needs to happen. But for us to keep to spend another couple of $1 million for a treatment plant when it should be going to a regional plant, or we should be doing something different. I guess what I'm suggesting is that we probably need to start working on the sewer system capital plan again, and look at Aqua's proposals and start getting ready for that and modernization of the sewer system in the future. It means impact fees will probably change, but you've got to do it. And it's because of this. I think that those lagoons could become hazardous or problematic if something goes wrong.
Has there been any follow-up communication from Yamagata regarding the land?
Not so far. Now, he didn't act like they were going to get back to us very quickly.
Yeah.
Benny Yamagata indicated that he had a lot of other issues that were worth more money than ours.
Yeah.
And so he just said, we'll get in touch with you. We're just trying to figure out where we're at. The biggest thing they were concerned about is how do they market that? What's the value?
Yeah.
That's what he was looking at. But very positive to do something, it sounds like.
Anyway. Super. Okay, well, there's the report on the sewer system. I don't think any action needs to be taken there, but I'd like a report on the water system now, item number 7, including the CCR report, the state approval of water line funding, and the frozen mains and saddles. I'll be interested to hear there.
Okay, and it's good to have Don here. We'll talk about that. The state approval, the funding, Jim, you've taken care of that. And the consumer confidence report was something that we have to produce each year, plus it's also that somebody up there on the mountain, they were complaining about finding some dirty water. So we actually had a third party come in, help us to go out and do some samples out of the system. We actually reviewed our sampling plan and updated it just to be a little bit more robust. But we did sample the water system up there, sent those off to Weber Basin, and everything came back clean. Now, we don't have to sample as extensively as a community water system, because we're not one right now. We're testing mostly for bacteria. So there'll be a time when we'll have to do the full spectrum tests and everything else. But they just said the water's super good quality.
Where did you get it?
They actually took it closer to the house that was complained down on
Spring Park.
We've actually been sampling everything up on the mountain all over in the old district and up by the lodges and everything else on a regular basis anyway, did it monthly, and those have been great. But we wanted some samples down the newer part to make sure that there was nothing down there. The individual had found some contaminants in their water. And the test came back really good. So the problem, I think, with the sample the individual had is that they did a home sample for those Home Depot type. And it was possibly, from what I could tell, it was in a house where they had an outhouse just outside the door, and the workers had been working around, and it could be the faucets, the handles are contaminated, people not washing their hands and stuff, using that outside restroom. And then if you touch those sample bottles and get those contaminants, and you can breathe on a sample bottle and ruin it. So you have to be really careful on how you do it and where you get it from, and the state monitors that and regulates it. So it has to be done just right. So we did the test according to state standards and regulations and everything, and it came back clean.
Good.
Yeah, just just want to let you know. And also then that consumer conference reports out there, and we've updated the sampling plan with the state.
Okay.
So
are you going to post those on your website, the reports?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Once you do, I'll let the neighbors know that they posted. They've asked for them.
Okay.
They asked for them more because they wanted to know about, you know, mineral content. I don't even know if it's stuff that you guys test for or not, but I would just rather point them to the website and say, hey, okay, it's all out there.
Yeah, I just suggest that we do that. It's a much more extensive test and costly, but it's something we need to do and post on the website anyway so people can see.
Okay, well, whatever you've done,
we'll do that.
Just post it. I'll let them know it's out there.
Okay. All right, thanks. Appreciate that. So the next one is Coastal Frozen Mains and Saddles and where we're at. We did, Don, myself, Mark Miller, Ryan, Kathy, and Rick Everson met, talked about that as well as some other issues. Also kind of meet and greet with Mark Miller. As far as the frozen saddles, we need to engage the contractor that put those in Geneva because it's a quality problem. As far as the frozen lines go, that's probably an issue where the county and probably, I think it's going to go back to the design engineer. From what I see, it might be responsible. The design indicates that they're at 5 feet, is what where they're required to put them in at, and everything's freezing at 5 feet. And so all the information, as we did our research, the information shows that all of the mains that were on high mountain resort communities were all 7 feet or under, sometimes 9 feet. So everything around the 5 foot area appears that they're freezing, the mains and services aren't. So, last conversation, Don, you were going to take the lead to get people together and stuff.
Ryan and Rick are putting together and we're just outlining, one, what we think the problem is, mm-hmm. you know, and then two, what a short-term and long-term solution might be. And I think it's going to be one of these,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure that the design engineers will say they designed it for whatever the Powder Mountain Water and Sewer specs were at the time. If we find out if what we've heard that the services are really shallow is true, then that probably will be the contractor having to step up and say, you know, I mean, if they're 3 foot deep on the services, that's different. If everything's 5 foot deep, then I'm just looking at it this way. We got people out there with no water. Mm-hmm. Let's get it unfrozen. I really think the bleeder valves on the mains, even if they're only 5 foot deep, hopefully if we had bleeder valves on there, I know it's wasting water, but at least for 3 months out of the year, get water moving through there. Hopefully it'll keep it from freezing on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe insulate where it crosses pavement. I mean, I don't know what the longer term solution will be for the mains that if they are indeed freezing. But we know that ones that are going in Bobcat and Overlook, we're gonna put them 7 foot deep, so mm-hmm. we don't have this ongoing problem. But I tried calling Rick right before I walked in here because I haven't seen a memo from him outlining those steps.
Okay.
But hopefully I'll have that over
here. Rick from the county?
No, Rick Everson. So Rick,
okay,
on our team. And he did reach out, you know, real in Geneva into this. I really think that Geneva might be an issue on the saddles.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's really their issue relative to how deep they were buried because they just did it for spec. That's why I say it's going to be finger pointing because everyone's going to say they were designed for spec and you're just going to look at it and say, well, our spec is not changing on a go forward basis. So I don't know if it falls back on us. I don't really, I mean, I care, obviously, but I just want to fix the problem.
And if you believe the inspection reports that Rick Everson's shared with us, most of the services are actually deeper than 5 feet just because of the limitations of pipe angle changes and the contours on the mountain. A lot of them were as deep as like 8 feet, I think. So
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the fact of the matter is we've got people without water, and so
yeah, that's a problem.
Let me tell you, I had a little conversation today. Was there anything more on this frozen mains before we go to item 8? Because I got a couple.
Yeah, I've got one.
There's a couple more things. Go ahead.
Well, I just want. I think if we can determine who's liable, then we should go in and ask to get compensated for all this equipment we rented for $10,000.
Yeah.
And Jed's labor and everything else that was associated with it, we should get compensated for that. I know Kerry is plans on that, but that's something that if we can determine liability, then we need to make a claim against that.
I agree with that.
Okay. Well, and I agree, the challenge is just the same thing that Don's saying is determine who is responsible. I don't know where that goes, or if we determine that we just got to do something to, for time being, to get people back in water, and we start moving ahead. I don't know. The problem is, again, you have people out of water. As we met with the county to their inspectors, to ask them about the process and signing off. That system's flawed, by the way. There is no good process. We haven't been signing off on those lots. Basically, a checklist of who's the health department, the county, the district, the fire marshal, everybody else should be signing something.
So that's where I can talk to you on that. That's where I was going to go.
Oh, okay.
I asked it. I had a meeting today with Rick Grover, one of our principal planner there, and I asked him what the process was. For instance, when Weber Basin or another water district comes in, and I said, he said, is it different with the Powder Mountain Water Sewer Improvement District? He said, yeah. I says, well, that's wrong. That needs to be, we need to be involved with the same thing. He talked about including us on the Marotti, and having the approval so that the permits were on Marotti with the, everybody else, so it's all the same. Which I think is a good idea.
Well, I've been on Marotti for 2 years.
Oh, then that's something else.
Something else. I've okay. been there. I get it every day.
Well, so we need to address that. I'm speaking now with the other hat on. The other thing, though, too, has to do with building permits. You know, this is a life safety issue. Whether it. Not just the drinking, but also sprinkling and everything else up there, and if there is a potential or a fire. And so right now, our thoughts, you know, we've shut down all permits, building permits up there, but I don't think that's fair. I think we'll have those pipes unthawed in the next 3 months. We have to establish what the cause is, and then get them fixed. But I also think that it's not this district's liability, I think, with how that was put in. And there, you're right about the finger pointing back and forth. But I think we need to get, first off, we need to restore service.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So I said, let's get that going. He says, if it's going to be 1 or 2 years, I says, no. But we will issue building permits. But we will not issue certificate of occupancies until they're thawed out and we can guarantee people can go in there. I think that's softer than to just say, we're cutting it off and nobody can permit at all. And that's where we were headed. And but we've got to get the service back on and flowing, then determine what that is. And I'm hoping that with it flowing and functioning, that the warmer temperatures will allow, we'll be able to establish what we need to do to correct the problem so that it won't happen again. We shouldn't be in this problem in the first place.
No, and unfortunately, it's like a scenario overall. Just bought the new car, got in, found out the gas line doesn't work, we're on the trip already.
Do you have any concerns over when the lines do start to thaw and some of these homes don't have water meters in them, so there's really nothing that's going to stop kind of an ice hammer coming into the house and potentially rupturing a pipe in the house? I mean, is that...
Yeah,
that's where we come in with the certificate of occupancy. We did not know half of these people were in their homes because they were never called for us to put the meters in. They just went straight to the bypass, and that's how we did not know. We even questioned Bisno's. Mark, I knew. Elliot, he'd been in there for 6 months before we even found out. Turner's, we didn't know.
That's with us, too, is they've gone in without a C of O from us.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a good, problem. I'll mention that tonight, but that's a concern about a water hammer. But I'm telling you right now, from my position, they got no C of O and they're living in there, something happens.
It's on them.
On them. I'm not even going to shed a tear.
The C of O.
Yeah, but we did not sign off on it.
Right.
That's the problem, is we did not know they were there.
And that's what we brought up with the county on the call last week, which was, you know, please get together and review with the...
That's going to and I'll have him continue. Well, I want to be hand in hand, and so that this district has an approval process. in place before a CVO is issued by Weber County for them to move in. But that being said, from permit to CVO, you know, we're going to allow that to go on. But they'll also, this is another thing we talked about, and I'd like to make sure that if, I think the county, but it may come here, but people getting a construction permit will have to sign a document understanding that their water could be compromised as far as with regards to service, that there may not be service right now, at least in those months, because we're not gonna do that.
Right.
Or, you know, and if they won't sign that, some kind of a release or a letter saying, hey, listen, we may not have service. If they won't sign that letter of understanding, they won't get a building permit. So, because that's, we're not going to put them in a precarious situation.
Well, do we have an obligation to provide temporary water connections during construction, or can we just force them to put in the meter to our specs to do a kind of permanent connection that they can use during construction?
Can it go either way? Yeah, I can. Personally, I just seem to just put it in and start using it. Then it's in, and it's working.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. What I'd like to do that. What do you think about that,
Don? Do you think that presents any problems?
Yeah, well, we can.
I just wasn't involved to know why that wasn't done the first time around.
I mean, I think that solves a lot of problems.
I can't answer that question because I wasn't here. But you're right. We've identified the problem. We'll take care of it now.
Yeah, this is just a process thing.
Yep,
that's all it is.
We're so much further ahead than we were 2, 3, 4 years ago, as you well know.
Yeah.
But we're not perfect. We're getting there.
Yeah, for sure.
So moving ahead with the getting all of this other stuff taken care of, making sure that we actually do verify the depths of the water lines, that we do have some plan in place prior to next season, we need to have some type of plan. Again, I'm hoping that you and Rick, I guess, are working on that, if you guys are going to.
Like I said, it's going to go through. It's going to say it's verified depths of services.
Uh-huh.
On the main, it's not going to. In the main, we've seen the as-built. We know that for the most part, everything other than one, there's one shot that was 2 inches less than 5 feet of cover. Everything else was 5 feet to 8 feet. So I think cover needs to be more going forward. And then the bleeder valves, because the water's sitting there stagnant. My guess is that even at 5 foot deep, even with frost around it, if the water was moving, it's not going to freeze, but it sits there for weeks on end, not moving. So I really hope the bleeder valves, because that's, I think, not that expensive of a fix, too.
No.
A lot less expensive than going through and everything up. And
where do we send the water that comes out of the bleeder valve?
I think the huge problem is we can't put it in the sewer system, of course. And,
nope.
And I don't know where the storm drain system just dumps off the mountain, doesn't it, eventually?
Yeah, I think the storm drain goes down kind of towards the bottom of Village Lift.
So as long as we can dump it without it causing any problem on a constant basis, we can create some springs is what we're doing.
Pardon me. What's a village lift?
The lift right there. That runs
Sundown?
Right. No, it's actually one of the new lifts in Lefty's Canyon. So.
Okay.
I think as long as we have a plan going forward and that we are addressing this prior to the next season, we do not want to go into another season where it could be so colder. And I guess it's been colder up on the mountain than it was this year. But that could be dangerous. Then we'd have a lot of people up there, that 10 more possibly homes and no water. And you have the problem with fire protection, frozen mains.
That's what I'm worried about. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to go into another season doing this. Plus, you know, spending days up there trying to figure that out is not fun either.
Well, we're still at a point where we haven't the pipe that's frozen is not thawed. Correct.
No, we're still wondering what to do, and I think the only thing to do is dig it up. I've got to hold two contractors, and they're all heading in different directions right now to get busy.
So we haven't started digging yet.
No.
Are you thinking of digging on ores? I mean, I know ores want to dig.
Yep.
There is now one, which is definitely a main. I think ores might be a service. We don't really know. That's the one I think it makes sense to dig it up to see how far down that frost is. And plus, they want to be in there Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if that's doable or if we do a bypass like you've done before. The Bisnow one, I mean, I don't think anyone wants to get in there until May. And I'm hoping that, you know, the frost is going to start coming out of the ground here, next month or so?
don't
there's
know.
A lot of insulation. I mean, in the roads, yeah, probably within the next month.
So in relationship to Orr's property, even though the mains weren't freezing, the services were freezing, and we had people, we told to leave the water on, and as soon as they turned it off, it froze right back up. So we're going to also have a policy or a plan where people are told to leave their water on in their homes and leave it on for months, I guess, or during certain temperatures.
Well, can't we go back, and even the ones that are in the ground, can't we go back and verify depths? And to the degree that they're not 5 foot deep, or I'm guessing actually 6 or 7 foot deep, services are a lot cheaper to go back and dig up. One, most of it is outside of the roadway. You know, we could proactively try and fix those.
Yeah.
Or even, was it you guys, someone was suggesting that you could put heat tape on it.
They do. In fact, I think it's Wyoming or Yellowstone or some of those
just
resorts.
Just not plug it in unless you have a problem.
Yeah.
If you have a problem,
have a
you plug it
cable
in.
Huge cable that's wire wrapped or it has a shield on it, but they're very, very durable. And they'll string them right around the main, on the saddle, and then follow the service in and right up to the meter box. And they freeze. You just plug them in, thaw out the service, and then unplug it again. It's a simple fix, inexpensive, but we dig these up. I think we just put them in. Once
I think you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. So what I wanted to, biggest thing I wanted to make sure of is there is a liability. Even if we do the bypass right now for these homes and Tyler Orr's place, I assume the district ends up assuming some responsibility in that. Say, what if it catches on fire and we have a bypass in this marginal water supply? We just have to understand there is a risk. He doesn't have adequate fire protection. I don't know if the county will buy off on that still. We've been doing it. They've kind of looked the other way. But that's the thing.
We're not doing this look the other way crap anymore. We're fixing this.
Well, that's that sign-off sheet where everybody should be signing, saying,
right.
I understand what's going on, and I agree to it.
That's right.
That's
so I need you, from the county perspective, and this isn't a county meeting, but to solve the problem, if you, Roy, get with Rick Grover over there, let's get this, however the process works. So
Rick is the one that can handle it?
Rick Grover.
Okay. Yeah.
And, Roy, if you, I mean, we've got normal call next Wednesday. If you want to jump on that, all of us will be on that call. With
okay.
Rick's always on.
So.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah. That's
all
not
right.
Tomorrow, though. That's not until a week. You know, that's a week, over a week off. So you may want to connect with them before then.
Yeah, so again, I'll be glad to do what we can. Call Blue Stairs, whatever you want for that service, and try and dig that up. But I think we need to dig it up right now while it's frozen to check the depth, see what's going on. That's a perfect example of what's wrong and why we need to fix it. Be best to dig it up right now.
Well, Roy, does this individual have a certificate of occupancy that we're discussing now?
I don't know. Not Tyler Orr. It's
133. It's he just sold it. It's William somebody. William.
Yeah, it's
you know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Yeah, it's lot 133.
Does he have a C of O?
I don't know.
I believe so.
Does he?
I mean, are we responsible for doing work on people that don't have CFOs that didn't comply with county standards?
That's what I'm worried about.
It's a good question.
Liability.
That's a good, another good question, but Trustee Moyal.
So, not to add to everybody's concerns, but as far as the fire, okay, mm-hmm. Powder Mountain West, anything burns there, it's going to burn to the ground before anybody gets to it.
There's no way to get to it.
There's no way to get to the fire hydrants.
So that's where they have fire protection systems in these homes.
No, not those, but
ours do. Yeah.
All the new ones do. But
yeah,
Powder West, right. The old homes don't.
They were built at a different time, different standards, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like my house, I chose to not have it just because I don't like possibility of freezing. I already have issues with that. The other thing is CFOs. So the cabin I bought 7 years ago didn't have a CFO in 29 years. So I had to reopen the building permit, get a CFO on that one. The house I built still has an active building permit because one of the bathrooms wasn't finished, so I couldn't get a CFO. So I'm actually getting that tomorrow. So county inspector's coming up to finish to final my house out. Okay, and then I just heard a rumor that Sundown doesn't have a CFO. Sundown Condos does not have a CFO. So that might be something to look at. How many of the homes up there actually have CFOs?
Oh.
My house did not have a C of O either when I moved in, and had been occupied for 15 years. So I went down and had to get some things done. I had to have an engineer come up and check some of my window wells, you know, to make sure that they were structurally sound. And finally, I got a CFO, but it took, that was a major effort for me.
And I found out in my due diligence that I didn't have a CFO, and I was hoping that the bank wouldn't catch it for my loan, and they didn't. But as soon as I was in the house, then I paid for a building permit to be reopened and then finaled it out. That was one that had been built 29 years before.
Well, so
this just keeps getting worse in terms of anecdotal stories.
Yeah.
I suppose I do want to understand why, when you get with Glover, is these repairs that we're undertaking in homes that we have not issued, the county has not issued COOs on. I mean, is that our responsibility? We backfill the owner who may be loosely considered to be there illegally? What do we do?
That didn't, I wouldn't think that you could backfill the owner because he evidently somebody was hired to inspect the system before it was covered up. Somebody was hired.
I don't know.
Is that this guy you're talking
about?
There's
a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah. The fact of the matter is, though, is we're charging people for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or once they're either getting a standby fee or something else. I think we got to be the. I don't want to be on the hook for it, but I think somebody's got to take the lead on this because we could be point. Yep. And in the meantime, there are people up there that are in it. So this is where the board's really got. I've really got to rely on the board. Somebody's got to take the lead. You know, and
I agree. I think the big thing I was just concerned about, as long as we understand the liabilities that are out there, potentials of those frozen lines, people in the homes. The fixes on the mains, who takes responsibility. At some point, you know, we need to make sure we all understand that, and that maybe whether we all agree to some plan of attack, I'm fine with that. Do whatever it takes to fix it.
Is it only over a little further up the road? Because Sundown, some of those others, they all got their water. We're only talking about two places, right?
Right now, it's what, Coppercrest? Is the only other
Coppercrest East and right?
Coppercrest West. And then it's Ridgenest there. Ridgenest and Hartwood Drive.
Okay, so this Coppercrest West, one townhome, and what else? It's Coppercrest West.
Coppercrest West, and then
a townhome.
Ridgenest and Hartwood Drive are kind of one area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a cul-de-sac, and that's where Bisnow's are. In the case of Galen Sioux, I think it was just a service, is what it sounds like, but it's kind of hard to tell, right?
And because it's
all off the same vein. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it's isolated to that main, you know, and leader valve on that should take care of it.
Yeah, the big main probably isn't going to freeze. I suspect it's plenty deep in the main road, but you've got all the water moving through it, which keeps everybody using it out in the end, just keeping it probably warm.
I think the reason it's going to get gray is the engineers are going to point back to the specs that they were designed to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the specs we all realize now, maybe it should be 5, 6, 7 foot deep instead of just 5 foot deep.
Who designed the specs?
That's the Powder Mountain Water and Sewer.
No, the design engineer for the county Santa Maine and stuff, wasn't that the Talisman or NB5 that did that?
Well, they did the plans, and they did them from their perspective in conformance with whatever. I think you're right. There's still not published specs. Normally, a sewer district's going to have published specs. They didn't have them, so whatever they were signed off on, Powder Mountain Water and Sewer, and probably by the county too. So that's why everyone's going to be looking at everybody.
Yeah, probably have it in Paul Southwick.
So we need to publish our specs?
No, we have
them. We do.
Oh, okay.
But at the time all of this started, we didn't have any.
Okay.
And I think even our specs now, we're changing them, but they're still 5 feet.
They'd probably say 5 feet.
Yeah. So it is going to be a finger-pointing thing. Everybody's going to try and see who's going to take responsibility. Like I said, it appears it's manageable and can be fixed. The saddles are a huge problem that I think is beyond any of this conversation. That's something that Geneva's going to have to take responsibility.
I did see an email that came back from Geneva on that issue, and I'll forward it to you. Rick just sent it to me this morning. And it was a little bit reassuring that the I think it was a project manager said, listen, if they were going to fail, it was obvious which ones were going to fail. Like, if they haven't failed by now, they probably aren't going to. I'll forward it to you. It made me feel a little bit better about the saddle issue. And really, even on the services, if we just put the onus, and if it goes to the C of O, you know, the onus is on the builder that, hey, you need to verify the depth that you're connecting to. If you're connecting 5 foot or shallower, the home builder has to go back and bury it deeper and make sure that at least, you know, if we've got a problem, it's only limited to the, you know, 30 or 40 houses that we've already got physically connected, right?
Yeah, that could be a problem if they're doing any. They'd have to get their work all done in the summertime. They couldn't do any of their construction during the wintertime, because that's what's happening now, is they're doing their work, getting people in homes in the middle of winter, and we're finding out now what's not working.
Well, and we're hearing stories from, and I'm not pointing the finger at the home builders themselves, but when they come back and say, well, I connected, it was only 36 inches deep. I mean, the first thing I'm saying is, why didn't you raise your hand and say, you know what, I'm no engineer, but 36 inches is not deep enough for a water service, you know? So, you know, we just need to check that on a go-forward basis and figure out.
And that'd be easy to find out, because all you do is drop the tape down every one of the valve boxes and find out how deep the saddles or services are.
That's part of our recommendation, so. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll do all we can on it to help verify some of this stuff.
If we can, I mean, you made it sound like we got a contractor lined up. I know there's going to be the cost issue, but getting them out there and let's understand. I'm really curious as to whether the frost is down past that main or not. I mean, it's got to be. I'm assuming it is, but it would be nice to see how deep it really is.
Yeah. So if we incur, I guess if the district were to take a lead on a system, assuming it's not theirs, they haven't accepted responsibility for it, and we spend $5,000-$7,000. You guys happy with that, or do we need to? Are you sure the cost? Case, or what are we doing?
In the case of the ore one. I mean, we're pushing you to do it, so we're okay. I mean, we're okay sharing it. I mean, I realize that you guys have some
responsibility.
We've all got some responsibility here, and we want it taken care of, because we've got a homeowner that's, you know, rightfully so upset with us, just as much as upset with, you know, when they call us up and we say, well, it's a district problem, that doesn't fly, right? I mean, we do try and say we're working with the district, and we always make sure that they know we're trying to do this together, but. You know, I mean, if you get out there, whatever the cost is going to be, we're willing to share on that for sure.
Well, we don't have anything in writing.
Yeah.
And with all due respect, I want to bring this back to the whole process here to the board.
Sure.
We appreciate your input, Don, but let me bring this back to the board. What do you want to do? Somebody's got to take a lead with a little bit of money. This is a discussion for you, the board members. What do you want to do on this?
Geneva put in the water line, all of it, right?
I don't even know.
Yes.
They around with that.
The Geneva's everything? Geneva put in some. They put in, and was it in this meeting where they said, "Hey, well, if it comes back to us, we got lawyers. Go ahead and sue us."
There's a different meeting, a different time. It was probably the CEO in a business meeting, but he just said, "We'll probably have to use our insurance company if it's our responsibility."
Was anybody that's in this room there before they covered up those water lines? Mark, were you here? Was it before you?
No, before me.
That's a good question, and I don't mind saying that I was up there in spring of 2017 when Greg Chambers was digging the condos, the ones at the top of the cul-de-sac, and I saw an open water line there right at the corner of the road, and things were moving around. I thought, brother, that's not, and it wasn't, I can say though, I didn't pull the tape, that it wasn't that deep. Is that, that's kind of where we're talking about. It wasn't that deep, and in fact, Chambers pointed out to me, he said, see that, that's going to be a problem.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I heard that between the business houses, they encounter rock.
I've heard that too.
And they chose not to dig it up.
I've heard that too, but I've also seen the as-built shots of where they did take shots, showing it's 5 foot everywhere.
I heard it's as shallow as 3 feet.
That would be a problem.
But it'd be easy enough to identify if you cut up the road.
Or somebody mentioned about it, you can use a ground penetrating radar.
That's what I was hoping we could do in the summertime once water's going through to figure that out.
But it's a problem. Why not dig it up, and then if it's less than it should be at least 6 feet. I never heard this 5 feet. I've always heard 6 feet, and because of those issues, I'm going 7. Mm-hmm. And then at some places, my line's going to be 13 feet deep, just because of sewer. Sewer line's going to be 13 feet deep for fall.
Yeah.
But instead of wasting any more money on heaters, and just tear up the road. It's not like anybody's going to be there after the mountain closes. So in 2 weeks, we tear up the road. Right where you think it is, you tear it up. Find any of it that's less than 5 feet, bury it, 6 feet.
Well, I think the problem is we don't know exactly where we think it's frozen or where the shallow spot is. I mean, that's the problem with that one, because you could end up digging up, you know, hundreds of feet of road. I think the place to start is out at the Coppercrest West townhomes, because we can dig up the lateral there see.
I can come within 2 or 3 feet where that pipe was, because I can tell you right now the road and the curb didn't move from where I was standing.
And that's Coppercrest West. That's Coppercrest
West. Listen, I know sundown and I know the triple up there. You guys are going to have to use 1970s terminology.
This was there.
I have a lift ticket for you.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's the place to start, because it shows you, number one, frost depth. It shows you, number two, what the depth of the service is. And we can start identifying whether it jives with what our as-built inspections show. If the as-built inspection shows it's 5 feet and it's actually 36 inches, then we know that they've falsified their as-built, and we're going to have to do a much more in-depth investigation.
Well, I would say at minimum for me to at least take those steps. That's what I would, that